Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name's Gary Parish, talking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Brad Carson's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruption.
Well, daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you were just glued to the ping pong ball tiebreaker like I was. Because it just went down minutes ago. Moments ago, and we found out the Grizzlies are going to be slotted 8th heading into next month's NBA lottery. And what that means is that it's now set. There is a 68.8% chance that the Grizzlies will either pick in the top four of the 2019 NBA draft or convey its pick to the Boston Celtics. That's the good news. The bad news is that there's still a 31.2% chance that the Grizzlies are going to pick 8, which would be a nightmare scenario because you do not want to hold on to your pick and pick 8th in this draft as opposed to, I don't know, giving up the first overall pick 2 years from now. We'll talk about it momentarily, but first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Dan Walken is a national columnist, USA Today. Yesterday, he tweeted that the Grizzlies are an absolute mess, so I'll get him to expand on that in about 20 minutes. Finish that segment, I'll do four notable stories, 444, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, round two of the Masters is underway, and I guess just a few hours from wrapping up, I'll get you updated on what's going on in Augusta around 444. The Lakers fired Luke Walton today, and he's expected to be replaced by Ty Lue, so that's hilarious. Get into that a little later on this hour. Toronto's OG Anunoby is expected to be sidelined for 2 weeks after having an emergency appendectomy. I, too, also once had an emergency appendectomy. I was not sidelined for 2 weeks. I don't know why OG Anunoby would be. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock. And Oakland's Chris Davis has a chance tonight to do something that's only been done 4 times in Major League Baseball history. I'll tell you what it is during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go, and I'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the tiebreaker for the NBA draft that just took place on NBA TV. It was also streaming live, and so I was sitting here in my office here at 92.9 FM ESPN, and I was like, listen, initially this thing, this is the way you plan a radio show,
sure,
by the way.
Sure, yeah, a lot going into.
Yesterday was perfect for me for radio purposes because you had breaking news in the middle of the afternoon. See, normally, on a normal sports day, there's not a whole lot that happens between 9 and 4. It's why often when I'm in New York and I need to be in studio early, Brad and I can record this radio show a couple hours early. We're not really at risk of having anything screw it up unless it's in the middle of the NCAA tournament when there's day games, which is why I don't host on those days, or at least among the reasons I don't host on those days. NBA trade deadline can get a little tricky. You got to be careful with that. But in most days, there's not – nothing really is going to change between, say, noon and 4 o'clock. And so today was going to be another good day for me because this was one of those days. My point being that nothing's really going to change throughout the day. And so by the time I sit down at 4 o'clock, whatever I'm going to talk about, I could have probably talked about at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. or 2 p.m. while if I were hosting any of these other shows on this station. But today, yesterday was a good day because now I get to talk about something nobody else has talked about. Today, same thing. Get to talk about something nobody else has talked about because the tiebreaker, ping pong balls, was supposed to happen at 2:30. And so I knew I didn't really have to plan an opening segment because I was waiting on 2:30. And then they pushed it back to 3:30. And I was like, okay, but three, how long does it take to figure out some ping pong balls? And then it was like 3:50. And I was like, I got a show to do in 10 minutes.
Yeah, get so the balls going.
I was relying on these balls to be settled.
That's what she said.
I was relying on these balls to be all worked out by the time 4 o'clock rolled around. So I'd know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And we got to about 3:57, and we were still waiting on those balls to get settled. But the balls got settled.
That's what she said.
And the Grizzlies are going to be slotted 8th in the heading into the lottery.
Right.
And what that means, because I'm confident there's people listening right now who have no idea what that means, let me walk you through it as simply as I can. The Grizzlies, you might have heard, did a trade many years ago, didn't work out for them, and now they owe a first-round pick to the Boston Celtics. And in this particular year, that first-round pick is top 8 protected. In other words, if it ends up falling in the top 8, the Grizzlies just going to keep that pick. But if it's anywhere outside of the top 8, well, then you go ahead and give it to Boston. And we decided a long time ago that we would like to go ahead and give this pick to Boston because this is not a great draft. Well, let me rephrase. The thing you hope most is, like, you get lucky in the lottery, you win the number 1 pick, you draft Zion Williamson, you change your franchise overnight. That's lucky. That's what you want. But really, anything short of that, outside of maybe, I don't know, the second pick, Ja Morant. But after that, it's like, just give the pick away, as far as I'm concerned. So what we decided is, if you can't get Zion Williamson, more or less, you want to send the pick to Boston because next season it's protected a little less next year. And then the year after that, it's not protected at all. In other words, you could be giving up the number 1 overall pick in the 2021 draft if you don't give it up before then, because there's not a whole lot of evidence to think that the Grizzlies are going to be good anytime soon. So these are going to be lottery picks, I would assume, in both 2020 and 2021. And again, given that it's not protected in 2021, you actually could end up giving the number 1 pick in the 2021 draft to the Boston Celtics. And so what we were hoping for today, if you were watching these ping pong balls, is that the Grizzlies, because we go into it knowing the Grizzlies are either going to be slotted 7th, 8th, or 9th. And what we wanted was the Grizzlies to be slotted 9th, and here's why. If you're slotted 9th, what that means, if you're the Memphis Grizzlies, is that really only good things can happen. You are either going to convey the pick or pick in the top 4. That was it. It was the only options. You could had a 6% chance of picking first, a 6.3% chance of picking second, a 6.7% chance of picking third, let me make sure I've got it right here. Boom. And a 7.2% chance of picking fourth. That's right. And the only other thing that could happen outside of that was a 46% chance. The only thing outside of that is that you would just give the pick to Boston. Let me make it simple. You were either going to pick in the top 4, and you had about a 25, 26% chance to pick in the top 4. And if you didn't pick in the top 4, the pick's going to Boston. If you were slotted 9th, if that ping pong ball would have had you slotted 9th today, you would have either picked 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, or the pick goes to Boston, you don't pick at all. That was the preferable thing, because it allows you to convey the pick unless you're picking in the top 4. What actually happened is the Grizzlies are slotted 8th, and that is less preferable because when you are slotted 8th, there's a 31.2% chance that you're going to pick 8th, and that's a nightmare scenario in this draft for all the reasons already stated. It's not a deep draft, and it makes you still be at risk of conveying a better pick in a better draft next year, or an even better pick in an even better draft the year after that. And so now where we're sitting is that there is a 31.2% chance that the Grizzlies are going to pick 8th. Basically, if we play this out 100 times, a third of the times the Grizzlies are actually going to have to execute the 8th pick in the 2019 NBA draft. 68.8% chance that they're going to pick either 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 4th. And if you want specific numbers on it, it breaks down like this. 6% chance to select Zion Williamson. 6.3% chance to, let's just say, select Ja Morant. a 6.7% chance to, let's just say, select R.J. Barrett, and a 7.2% chance to, let's just say, select Darius Garland. And then, you know, a 31.2% chance that you're picking eighth, which is a nightmare because eighth is going to get you something like, if you just go to the NBA mock draft that I've been working on, eighth is going to get you in a range where you're talking about Kobe White, Romeo Langford, Nasir Little, Cam Reddish,
right.
Brandon Clark, Jackson Hayes, maybe Jarrett Culver slips down there. All fine prospects, I guess. All guys who could develop into something special, perhaps. But if I told you right now, you could have Nasir Little, or you could be done with the Boston situation. Yeah. You don't have to give up a pick next year or the year after that. You would say,
be done.
You would just be done with it. Take Nasir Little and give him to somebody else.
Right.
We'll just pass on this year, and then we'll start all over next year.
Yes.
Anybody that's going to be available at the eighth spot is somebody you would rather not have if it meant you get to keep your pick next year and the year after that. And I will say, right now the guy I have eighth in my mock draft, and I might change it based on what just happened, but it's Romeo Langford from Indiana, who's a fine prospect, McDonald's All-American, one of the all-time leading scorers in the history of Indiana high school basketball, but he's a shooting guard who can't shoot. And I think historically, and there are some examples of this, we've looked at players who maybe didn't shoot it well in high school or college, and we say, yeah, but they can learn to shoot it well. You know, that shooting is a skill that you can develop and become good at. And it is, I guess. But there's a whole bunch of guys in the NBA right now who were non-shooters in college, and somebody drafted them based on, man, if we can get them to shoot, then you got something special. But they never learned how to shoot. They never got there, and so they're not special at all. And that would be the worry with Romeo Langford. Okay, he's a shooting guard who can't shoot. Is he going to be able to shoot? If you tell me Romeo Langford's going to develop into a 40% three-point shooter, I'm going to tell you Romeo Langford's going to be an NBA All-Star. But there's a whole bunch of guys that if they could just shoot, they would be something different, and they can't shoot, so they're not. Another guy who's going to be in that range, and I wouldn't have said this back in November, but I would say it now, is Cam Reddish from Duke. Because there was a time where Zion, RJ, and Cam, the three Duke stars, were projected by some to go 1-2-3 in the draft. I don't think they're going to go 1-2-3 in the draft anymore. I think Zion and RJ could go 1-2, more likely like 1-3 or 1-4. But I don't think Cam Reddish is going to sniff the top five now. And the reason, well, there's a couple of different reasons. And this would be my advice to the Grizzlies. If the Grizzlies actually end up picking eighth and they want my advice, don't take Cam Reddish. And there's two reasons. One, he's an interesting prospect in the terms that he's a wing with length and shot looks good and he's got impressive physical tools.
Yeah.
But how excited are we going to be about a guy who shot 35.6% from the field and 33.3% from three-point range when he was teammates with R.J. Barrett and Zion Williams?
No.
Means he wasn't drawing double teams the way Dedrick Lawson drew double teams at Kansas throughout the second half of the season because Kansas didn't have anybody else to play through.
Right.
Cam Reddish, like, just could make a shot.
Mm-hmm.
As a third option where all the attention's on stopping Zion and R.J.,
mm-hmm.
he still shoots 35.6% from the field and 33.3% from three-point range? I don't know that I'm – that scares me.
No.
And here's what scares me more. I was talking to – at the Final Four, it's an interesting place because, obviously, you're there to cover games, but everybody in basketball's there. And so you end up at these different parties and get-togethers, and you end up in conversations with people you might not otherwise have ended up in. But now here you are. You got a drink, and they're in front of you, so you're talking. And I had a conversation with somebody who, I don't know, is familiar with Cam Reddish. We'll keep it that vague. And they really questioned his passion, whether he loves it, said the idea that he set out an NCAA tournament game under mysterious circumstances, like said he couldn't go. Like just before, even the on-the-record story is that just before the game in the NCAA tournament, he told Mike Krzyzewski, I don't think I can play. And they're like, well, when did this happen? Because we, up until 30 seconds ago, assumed you were playing. When did you get hurt? What is wrong with you? Oh, well, I think it's, you know, I just don't feel right. Okay, well, then don't play. But that didn't sit well with the people at Duke. Yo, wait, Zion Williamson, when the whole world's telling him don't play, said, you guys are crazy. I don't care if I'm risking $100 million. I'm playing. That's the guy you want. That's the guy who wants to go because he's a basketball player. Not to mention, a few days after eliminated from the NCAA tournament, Zion's in the rec gym on the Duke campus throwing balls off the backboard and dunking on people who look like me and you.
Just a baller.
Now, I promise you, whoever Zion's agent is, that he's probably had for 3 years now,
stop doing that.
Is telling Zion Williamson, yo, man, take it easy.
Yeah.
You don't need to be in a gym playing pickup with a bunch of
Brad Carsons. Yeah, what are you doing?
But he just wants to be in the gym playing with anybody. He wants to be in the NCAA tournament playing or in the gym playing with a bunch of people like Brad.
Doesn't matter
to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be unwise, but it tells you something about it.
Right.
He wants to be in the gym playing. He'd have rather been in the Final Four, but since he wasn't, he's just going to hoop with these dudes. That's what he does. I don't know that Cam Reddish is that same guy. And so, fingers crossed the Grizzlies aren't going to pick eighth. But if they do, just please stay away
from that. Would that DeAndre Hunter drop that far?
No chance.
No chance.
No. I'll tell you the guys that have no chance of dropping that far.
Yeah.
Zion, obviously. No. John Morant.
Yep.
RJ Barrett.
Yep.
DeAndre Hunter. And I think Darius Garland. I think there's five players that have no shot of dropping to eight.
Okay.
And anybody else could theoretically drop to eight. My top eight right now would be Zion Williamson, John Morant, RJ Barrett third, Darius Garland fourth, DeAndre Hunter fifth, Jarrett Culver sixth, Kobe White seventh, Romeo Langford eighth.
Okay.
So according to my big board, the people who would be in play for you are Romeo Langford, Nasir Little, Cam Reddish, Brandon Clark, Jaxson Hayes, PJ Washington, Tyler Hero, guys like that. Any of them could become NBA All-Stars. I ain't
sure.
Here to try to put a ceiling on anybody.
But it just does, yeah.
But if in advance of the draft you said you can have Romeo Langford or you can give the pick to Boston and keep your pick for the next 2 years guaranteed, you'd say let them take Romeo Langford. I'll just convey the pick. And so what you're hoping now is that in next month's lottery that it goes the way it's statistically supposed to go. Again, there's roughly a 69% chance, that the Grizzlies are going to pick in the top four or convey the pick. That's what you're rooting for now. The only nightmare is the 32% chance, 31% chance that you end up picking eighth. I'll talk more with Jeff Calkins about this just a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, Dan Wolkin had some thoughts on the Grizzlies yesterday on Twitter. He's a columnist, USA Today. I talked to him.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
About it next.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the you expect when it got a cape and he's great. Ovens full of cakes that he bakes. still spreading pace.
423 Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. The Lakers are, they have fired Luke Walton, probably going to hire Ty Lue, so that's funny. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Goggins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's a national columnist, USA Today. He's on Twitter at Dan Walken. It's Dan Walken making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Dan Walken, it's Gary Parrish. How you doing?
Man, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Things are all right in my world. I got no complaints. My suitcase is put in my attic. I don't have any flights scheduled. I'm happy right now.
That's a good place to be after the year you've had.
Dude, it's a great, like, I feel like it's just nice knowing that I don't have to pack to go anywhere. It's just like I can, like, I just, like, hang out at my house now like I used to, like I enjoy. It's been a fun week being back home. Let me ask you about this. So just yesterday, the Grizzlies had their exit interviews, at which point the coach and the general manager both announced to the world they're looking forward to next season. They can't wait to be back. And then within a couple of hours, they were both fired. You retweeted Mark Giannotto's column, said, good stuff, the Grizzlies are a disaster. I would invite you to expand on that thought. The Grizzlies are a disaster.
Well, they've been a disaster for a little while. I mean, you're talking about a team that has sort of been holding on to this idea for the last several years that they're a real contender, that they could salvage something out of the end of the Marc Gasol, Mike Conley era. And so they totally built their team around that idea. And yet, I think it was obvious to many, many people that that was not really the fate that was going to end up befalling this franchise. And so when you don't accept what's happening and you try to make moves to counter it, then you just end up deeper in the hole when it comes time to pay that bill. And they're paying it now, and they're going to be bad for a while.
Can you rationalize in any way them sending Chris Wallace and J.B. Bickerstaff out there under the impression they're going to continue as head coach and general manager when they knew that when the front office knew they are not going to continue as coach and general manager?
Yeah, that seemed like a really ill-considered strategy. But I do think it goes back to, you know, the owner, Robert Pera. I think the word absentee owner is something you've heard a lot about him. How engaged is he? What does he really know about running an NBA team? And I think we all just assume that people who have billions of dollars and own NBA teams or buy NBA teams understand how to be a good owner right off the bat because they're good at business or whatever venture that they made all of their money in. And yet owning an NBA team is such a different kind of enterprise that there is a learning curve. And what I would question about Robert Pera is he putting in the work as an owner to understand the landscape of the NBA and how to be a good owner? Is he getting better as an owner? I know that's not something or a way people frame it typically, but I think that matters, especially when you are new and you are young and you have bought an NBA team. You have to learn how to be good at this, and I'm just not sure he understands what he needs to do.
Well, I took calls. I rarely take calls on this show, but I took calls yesterday, and some people pointed out, like, you know, in big business, people get fired abruptly all the time. And my point would be twofold. A, this wasn't abruptly. They knew what they were going to do, I would assume, for weeks now. If not weeks, certainly days. They didn't decide at some point between noon and 2 yesterday afternoon. There was nothing abrupt about this. They just they intentionally sent them out there for reasons that Jason Wexler has explained and has acknowledged to his credit. He was on with Vernon earlier today, and he acknowledged that it didn't unfold the way that they anticipated or wanted. And I don't know that he actually said the words, if we could do it again, we'd do it differently. But he certainly implied, if we could do it again, we would do it differently. And that's good enough for me. But you know, there was nothing abrupt about this. This was the plan. And secondly, and even though, and maybe you agree with this, maybe you don't. I'll ask you. Though the NBA, owning an NBA franchise is owning a big business, it is not like running another big business. It's a very public thing that people care about and that the people involved are well-known figures. Just because you can run a different kind of business doesn't mean you can effectively run or own an NBA franchise.
Sure, and it's just a totally different ecosystem than a regular business. You're talking about, first of all, a game. You're talking about a product that, you know, I guess Robert Pera's regular business is the internet, right? Nobody loves the internet, or nobody gets really emotionally attached to the internet that they buy. They get emotionally attached to a basketball team. So you can just take all the comparisons to regular business and throw those out the window. Not to mention, you can't just go, you know, get the best player just because you want them. You can pay them more money. There's a salary cap. There's maximum salaries. So you have to operate within all these constraints that just don't apply to other things. But I think what the Grizzlies need to do, they need to figure out what they want to be good at. Because I think you can look at the last several years. What have they been good at? They haven't been good at drafting. They haven't been good at hiring or keeping coaches. They haven't been good at developing talent. So they need to figure out what they're good at and then put all their resources in terms of who they want to hire for their front office into that. And I think that's a good start for them.
Talking to Dan Walken from USA Today. He's on Twitter, at Dan Walken. At this moment, and I know that Jason Wexler, who's the new president of the Grizzlies, by the way, has said that they are going to bring outside basketball people in to provide outside voices to the people who are currently and have been inside the organization. So, you know, when that happens, we'll see. But at this moment, the three most prominent figures in the Grizzlies front office is the owner, who's a tech genius billionaire but has no basketball background, and a couple of lawyers, Jason Wexler and Zach Clemon. Neither one have, you know, traditional basketball backgrounds. Should that be concerning for fans of the Grizzlies?
Yes. Look, you have to, when you hire the person who's making the basketball decisions, at the end of the day, get someone who is proven or at least has some sort of pedigree that demonstrates that they can make good basketball decisions. And I'll just use an example from the city I live in, which is Atlanta. When Mike Budenholzer, they gave him all the power. He was the coach. He was the GM. He was obviously a really good coach. He was a terrible general manager. New owner came in and gave him all this power, realized it was a mistake, and then said, I am going to hire the best talent evaluator I can find. And so he hired a really good talent evaluator. And guess what? They've hit on three of three first-round draft picks since they hired the best talent evaluator they could find. So I think you have to have somebody who has a track record, who has a reputation of being good at whether it's evaluating talent, whether it's making trades, whether it's analytics, whatever it is, in assembling a basketball team. Go hire that, not somebody from the business side who's got to suddenly make basketball decisions outside of the comfort zone of where they've operated their entire career with the franchise.
There were some fans who were upset that Chris Wallace wasn't actually fired, just reassigned. And I would assume reassigned to a very minimal slash unimportant role. I mean, when you were a scout, involved in scouting, you can evaluate all you want, write all the reports you want, but if people don't consider your voice, it does not matter. And I know plenty of NBA scouts who think that they travel around this country evaluating, but ultimately it doesn't matter what they see or what they say because the people in charge just do not listen to them. They just happen to be employed there. And I would imagine Chris's job going forward will be something similar to that. At least it's possibly something similar to that. My take on Wallace still being employed is it's a billionaire's money. I don't care what he does with it. There is no limit on how many front office people you can have. There's no salary cap on your front office. And so Robert Parra's decision to continue to employ Chris Wallace doesn't have any impact on me or any impact on the franchise, best I can tell. So I don't really have any issue if that's the way he wants to spend his money. Where are you at on that?
Yeah, look, I would never root for somebody to lose their job or to lose their income or their livelihood or whatever. I would just say this. I think when you're running an NBA team, you need to run it like a business. If Chris Wallace, retaining him in that capacity, is the best business decision to make, then I think that would be a good decision. If it's not the best business decision, then it's probably not a good decision. But, at this point in whatever role he's going to occupy, does he have any particular value to the franchise at that point? I mean, I don't really think so. You clearly demoted him, which I'm sure is not something that is going to be comfortable for him or anyone in the organization. It's probably one of those deals where if he can go find another job somewhere, he will almost certainly do that. But I don't fundamentally have an issue with it. I just don't know that he's bringing any particular value moving forward.
Talking to Dan Walken from USA Today. He's on Twitter, at Dan Walken. So the Grizzlies have fired yet another coach, this time J.B. Bickerstaff. Listen, I don't know that he proved in his time here a big portion of one season as an interim coach, a full season as a full-time coach. I don't know that he proved he's an NBA head coach. But, on the, you know, so like it, perhaps the firing is justified. I think I could probably argue that it is. But it is just the Grizzlies firing another coach and keeping the front office people employed, although in different roles. How difficult does hiring your next coach become when you have created the perception that no coach survives in Memphis? Lionel Hollins goes to the Western Conference Finals, isn't asked to come back. Dave Yeager goes to nothing but playoffs, isn't asked to come back. David Fizdale fired after Mike Conley gets hurt. And then J.B. Bickerstaff fired when a whole bunch of people got hurt this year. That perception that this organization pulls a trigger quickly on coaches, how difficult does that make it trying to hire your next coach?
I wouldn't say it's that difficult because you have to remember there's only 30 of these jobs in the world.
Right.
And so they are jobs that people will want, and they pay a lot of money. And even if it's a quote-unquote bad NBA job, it's still an NBA job that a particular set of coaches will want. I think the biggest challenge is going to be what kind of coach do you feel like you need and what direction are you going in with the roster? Like if you're going young, if you're going to trade Mike Conley and you're going to build around Jaren Jackson and other draft picks now and in the future, then you need a coach who has got some sort of developmental bona fides and then empower him to say, we're going to let you do your thing, and you're not going to be under any pressure to win games next year or the year after that, and we just want to see how you develop, guys. And so I think that's really the road they should take if they feel like they're rebuilding. And I just think that's the biggest question in all of this is what are they actually doing directionally with the roster?
I'm wrapping up here with Dan Walken from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, the NBA playoffs do get started tomorrow. Do you see – obviously, if Steph or KD gets injured, like that's a game changer. But if Golden State's healthy, is there anybody in your mind that can challenge them, prevent them from winning yet another world championship?
You know, I don't think so. I'd like to say if Toronto gets to the finals that they'd be a pretty formidable opponent just because with everything else that they have, you now add Kawhi Leonard to the mix who can be a defensive player that I don't know that Golden State has really had to go up against during this run in a seven-game series. And that could maybe change things a little bit. But I don't really see, as long as Golden State is engaged, they have another level that they can kick it up seemingly and just beat everybody's brains in.
I think that's probably right. That's Dan Walken, USA Today. Let me ask, what's next for you? Where are you headed next? What are you doing next?
You know, I've got some stories I'm working on that I've been trying to get back to that just with college basketball over, I've now got some time. Kentucky Derby's coming up, so that'll be something. And I'll be working a little bit on some NBA playoffs as we go forward.
Dig that. I'll see you. Thanks for being here, buddy.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
All right. That's Dan Walken, USA Today. I mentioned NBA playoffs get started tomorrow. The first game is going to be 1:30 Central on ESPN Net Sixers. Philadelphia has just listed Joel Embiid as doubtful for that game, so that's obviously not ideal for Philadelphia. I was thinking about this earlier. I can't remember the last time I was this uninterested in the NBA playoffs.
I think
it's for three reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm still going to watch them, but I'm not interested. I'm not automatically interested. Tomorrow the games are Nets Sixers, followed by Magic Raptors, followed by Clippers Warriors, followed by Spurs Nuggets.
Yep.
There's not one there that I go, I want to make sure I'm around the house for that one.
The Raps is the most interesting for obvious reasons with Mark. But, because it's the usual suspects, and we all assume that it's going to probably be the Warriors standing at the end.
I think there's three reasons that I'm less interested than I typically have been. One is the Grizzlies aren't involved, so you don't have that obvious thing to draw you into it.
Right.
Two is LeBron's not involved.
Right. Like that's a first in 14 years.
Like LeBron is a massive deal for the NBA. I would assume the playoff ratings are going to suffer simply because LeBron James isn't playing. And not, it's not just in the play. Like, he's played deep into the playoff.
Yeah.
To the finals. Over and over and over and over. So we've never had an NBA season in a long time.
Yeah.
Was it 8 straight years?
A long time.
It was 8 straight years, I think, where the NBA season concluded with LeBron James still being involved till the very end. And now we're not going to have that at all. And I think that's going to make the ratings suffer, but also just make people care less than they otherwise would care.
Yeah.
And then the third reason, so one is Grizzlies not involved, two is LeBron not involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the third reason is that we feel like we know who's going to win. And I think that's probably been true, mm-hmm. like each of the, you know, that's been true for several years in a row now. But at least you still had the idea of ultimately it'll be the King against the Warriors. And, you know, he did it once. Maybe he could do it again. We found out each time subsequently, like, he couldn't. He just didn't have enough around him to get it done. He was operating at a historically great level, but there just wasn't enough around him to get it done. But you still always had that thing to carry you through. Like, maybe, just maybe. And now you don't even have that. I agree with Dan. I think the Raptors could be an interesting finals opponent for Golden State, but when we're getting ready to start these playoffs and we don't have LeBron, we don't have the Grizz, and it feels like, barring injury, the Warriors are going to win it yet again, I'll watch it. I'll keep up with it. We'll talk about it. But heading into it, I'm not nearly as fired up as I remember myself being in other years. The Lakers made it official today. They fired Luke Walton. Reports are that they're probably going to hire Ty Lue, so LeBron is going to get his way once again. We'll get into that next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it, made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole, I said I'm lost. She said I'm going too fast, I'm exhausted. Now drop to your knees for the offering. This the theme song, or something wrong. Might need an intervention for this new dimension. That's too new to mention, won't fit in a sentence. If I get locked up, I won't finish the
new sentence. New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it, Mr. Big Chest?
It's so smooth you can drink it straight.
So smooth you can drink it straight. Doesn't mean you have to drink it straight. Just means you can. Like, if you mix it with something usually and you run out of that mix, you don't have to panic. Just drink it straight. The fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America, we have, thanks to you guys and me, but you guys too, we've turned Memphis into the number one market per capita in this country for New Amsterdam vodka. It really is what I buy when I'm in the liquor store, and the reason is because it's awesome vodka that's reasonably priced. I can spend more money on vodka, but why would I do that? If I got a quality vodka that's reasonably priced, why wouldn't I just buy that one, spend my money on other things? Like, God, I don't even know. If you're into flavored vodkas, you ever try to figure out, like, where are we spending all this money?
Yeah, all the time, every day.
Besides the local Mexican restaurant, where are we spending all of this money?
Yeah.
And when did white cheese dip start costing that much?
Yeah, ponchos. Yeah.
Woo! They got flavored vodkas. Grapefruit, apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, and raspberry. Try one, try them all. Just next time you're in a liquor store, restaurant, bar, make sure to ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com. Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll talk Grizzlies again, but right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. 4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
Folks are still on the course, but the second round of the Masters down in Augusta will be wrapping up at some point later today. And barring a surprise, it appears we are probably going to have a 3-way tie for first heading into round three, the third round tomorrow. Francesco Molinari, Jason Day, and Brooks Koepka are all 7 under. The leaderboard is stacked, right? You got Brooks Koepka there. Dustin Johnson, 1 shot back at 6 under. He shot a second round 70 today. Adam Scott, 6 under. Phil Mickelson is 4 under, so just 3 shots back. Tiger Woods, also 4 under, just 3 shots back. So there's a chance that we could have a leaderboard on Sunday, fingers crossed, that includes Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods.
Beautiful.
Like, sign me up for that.
Yep.
But I really, all I've wanted out of any major since Tiger actually came back and looked healthy and played like a healthy Tiger Woods is get me to the weekend.
Yeah.
Get me to the weekend where you're still in contention, and then I know what I'm doing on Saturday and Sunday. And it appears that Tiger Woods is going to be in contention on Saturday and Sunday. He is 4 under for the tournament. He's 2 under today, but he's still got, I believe, 6 holes to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a chance that maybe he could get up there to 4 under, 5 under, 6 under. But I guess there's also a chance he could go the wrong way. But I doubt it given the way he's played yesterday and so far today. So either way, Masters is shaping up. Very happy for my bosses at CBS.
Yeah.
Because the national title game on Monday, even though it was fabulous between Texas Tech and Virginia.
Terrific game.
Terrific game.
Right.
It's just not great for ratings.
Right.
And they knew that going in. Like, going into the Sweet 16, there was a chance we could have a Duke-North Carolina or a Duke-Kentucky or a Duke-Virginia National Championship game that would have killed. Mm-hmm. Zion with anybody would have killed, but Duke-Kentucky, Duke-Carolina, Duke-Virginia would have killed. And then after Saturday night, mm-hmm. we end up with Texas Tech-Virginia, which is great. I mean, on some, you know, like from a basketball perspective, like if you just really love the game, it's great. But from a television perspective, it's not.
No.
I walked in. We were all staying at one of the hotels there mm-hmm. in downtown Minneapolis. And, Minneapolis, by the way, I'd never talked about this on the radio. Fun
Beautiful
Final
city.
Four.
Love
fun,
it.
Fun Final Four city. Like, we had fun there. But I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I could argue it either way. Everything closes at 2.
Yeah.
Like, you're not drinking after 2 anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it shuts down at 2 a.m.
It's probably a good thing for
there's
you,
not,
Gary.
There's not this, like, next place to go.
I think that's probably
and
good.
And so when we would get done with work, we wouldn't try to go find some place to go because you knew that, like, hey, every minute you waste is a minute you're wasted.
Yeah.
So we hung at the hotel bar basically every night.
Okay.
And we were all staying at that hotel, so my bosses were there. And one of my bosses, I won't name him, but he's, like, actually in charge of picking games, right? And he walks up to me and he's like, "GP, you need another one?" And I said, I do.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Okay.
And I said, I'll walk with you. And so I walk with him. I said, "So how you feeling?" He said, "What happened?" And I said, "Well, we've got Texas Tech and Virginia in the national championship game." And he goes, "Just shoot me." And they anticipated that the difference between a Duke-Kentucky game and a Virginia or a Duke-Carolina game or even a Duke-Virginia game.
Yeah, what is the difference in terms of the number?
And a Texas Tech-Virginia game is about 30%. You're going to lose about 30% of your audience based on that matchup.
That's tough.
And so that was a rough Monday night for my network.
We can make it back here.
The Network of Stars.
America's Most Watched Network.
America's Most Awarded Network.
Oh, hey.
But we could make up for it this weekend with a leaderboard that includes Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. So maybe it was a bad Monday, but could be a great Sunday. Maybe Jim Nantz could borrow that. It was a rough Monday. It was a rough Monday, but it's shaping up to be a terrific Sunday. Hello, friends. It's Jim Nantz. Live at Augusta National. Anyway, that's the Master. I got nothing else to say about
Story
that.
Story number two.
Luke Walton has been fired by the Los Angeles Lakers. They say it was a mutual agreement to part ways.
No, it wasn't.
Well, it almost never is. It almost never is. You hear that all the time when people.
Yeah, stop lying
when somebody
us.
Gets fired, they've mutually agreed to part ways.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you that person. Now, sometimes they do want to get fired. Like, I think Dave Yeager, when he was in Memphis and had the Kings job set up, did want to get fired.
Right.
So you could say, hey, the Grizzlies wanted to fire him, and Dave Yeager wanted to get fired, so that was like they both wanted the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a unique situation. But usually, just as is the case in relationships, only one person wants to not be done with the other person, right?
Yes.
And I think this was mostly Lakers wanting to be done with Luke, but there is some thought that Luke's already – you know, Luke's going to be an NBA head coach
yep.
again next season, probably if he wants to be. He's been connected to the opening with the Sacramento Kings, which could actually, crazy as it sounds, be a better situation for him
yeah.
than remaining in L.A. But either way, Luke Walton out as the Lakers coach. No real surprise there. What's hilarious, and I'm not saying it's wrong or dumb, but it is just kind of funny, the reports from Adrian Wojnarowski that Ty Lue is the leading candidate to become the Lakers' next head coach. And so Ty Lue's coaching career will be as follows. Brought in middle of the season to coach LeBron's Cleveland Cavaliers. Actually, like, wins a world championship. Yeah. Don't ever forget that. And I know LeBron's largely responsible for that. And if not LeBron, then Kyrie. But, like, Ty Lue was the coach. He's a world championship coach. You can't take – it's on his Wikipedia page. Go look. And then, of course, LeBron leaves, and he gets fired a few games into the season after LeBron leaves.
Yeah.
But LeBron's like, I got you, bro. Let me get Luke Walton out of here, and you can just coach me.
yeah.
You can just coach me in L.A.
Yeah, I'll hook you up.
And so that is essentially what happened. It looks like Ty Lue is going to be the next head coach of LeBron's Lakers.
Story number three.
O.G. Anunoby, mm-hmm. Raptors wing. A former Indiana standout is expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks because he just had to, yesterday, undergo an emergency appendectomy.
You had one of these.
I am the
You're the poster child for an appendix removal.
I don't know if I'm the poster child, but I am a I am a survivor of an emergency appendectomy.
When your wife called me, I thought
that
you
is,
were going.
You have your stories mixed up.
No, she called me when you were out, and I thought you were dead because she's like, Gary's really in some bad pain.
Well, you have your stories mixed up. That was kidney stones.
Oh, different pains.
Yeah. Now, that hurt like hell, too.
Yeah.
I thought I was dead. I wanted to die. If you'd have put a gun in my hand in that moment,
I might have used it on myself.
I mean, I was in a bad place.
Yeah.
But
that wasn't the appendix.
But
right.
I survived. My emergency appendectomy came when I was 12 years old.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yes. And I was at home. I remember my parents both worked growing up. And so I was at home alone, or maybe at home with my brother.
Yeah.
But a home with no parental supervision. And I was hurting like hell. And I didn't know what it was. It's just, honestly, it was exactly like kidney stones in this sense.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what it was. Right. If you've never been through that, you don't know what that pain is. And you just expect it to kind of go away.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't go away. It just gets worse and worse and worse until you're about to die. And so it wasn't as simple as, I'm hurting, we need to go to the hospital. It was, I'm hurting, is there Pepto-Bismol I can take? I'm hurting, I don't know what to do. I'm hurting, I think I'm going to lay down. And then it's eventually like, hey, I think I'm going to die. We have to go rush to the hospital. My appendix, I don't know if the right word is exploded.
Yeah, I think that is the right word. Right?
Yes, I had to have emergency. It ruptured.
Yes.
That's correct. And I had to have emergency surgery.
Uh-huh.
They cut me.
Oh, no.
And here's my point. I didn't miss 2 to 4 weeks.
Could you have played basketball in a couple days?
Well, I could never play basketball, even healthy. So I doubt I could have played it a couple days after being cut.
I mean,
if I couldn't play it before I was getting cut, then I don't think I'd be able to play it after I got cut. But I did participate in a 12-year-old state tournament within days of my emergency appendectomy.
Wow. You're a trooper.
Not hurt.
Did you fight through the pain for this 12-year-old team?
12-year-old state tournament. We're the South Haven All-Stars.
Let's go.
And normally I'm playing second base, best I can remember.
Yeah.
But emergency appendectomy took me out of the lineup.
Yeah.
But at some point in an elimination game, the coach, who I don't even think I remember, asked, hey, can you pinch hit? Can you at least pinch hit?
Oh. And I need your bat.
It was just like Kirk Gibson in the 88 World Series. Like, he's not playing, but can you limp up to the plate and pinch hit?
Oh, wow.
And I said, and if my math is right on this, it would have been right after, like, so I was 12 in 89. Kirk Gibson.
Same year.
Kirk Gibson was 88.
Okay, the year after.
So I'm within a year of Kirk Gibson pinch hitting in pain.
Kirk Gibson
and
moment.
Hitting a home run, a walk-off of Dennis Eckersley to help lift the Dodgers to what was eventually a World Series championship. And so 12-year-old me sitting there, and I'm like, if Kirk Gibson can come off the bench in pain and hit a home run to help his team win, I don't know why I couldn't do the same thing. So I remember. I said, I think I can pinch hit.
Okay.
And then I realized pretty quickly, I shouldn't be in this batter's box.
Oh, no.
I shouldn't be in this batter's box. Because whatever was going on with Kirk Gibson, not the same as his emergency appendectomy.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I don't know if it was 3 days later or 6 days later, but it was certainly less than 2 to 4 weeks, which is what that sissy OG Anunoby is ruled out for. And so go ahead, ask me how it went.
How did the at-bat go?
I struck out.
Oh.
struck out into the season.
Well, here's the thing, though.
I think I took strike three looking like a sissy.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, but I think I took strike three looking because it hurt to swing. I was in pain. They cut me, man.
It hurt.
They
well,
cut me.
You shouldn't
they
have been out there, clearly.
They cut me in the side of my belly.
I just watched the procedure while you were telling that story. It looks painful.
Well, have you ever been stabbed in the side by a knife? That's essentially what happens
it
to you.
It is exactly what it
they
looks like.
They cut you.
It looks brutal.
It's like I was in prison, except I wasn't in prison. I was in a hospital getting my appendix removed.
You shouldn't have been at that batter's box.
I don't think I should have been in there.
No.
Where were the adults to save me from myself?
Do you think...
How about somebody should have said, Gary, your heart's in the right place.
Gary, you don't listen.
But you don't need to be in a batter's box because you just got cut 4 days
ago. I want to defend your parents in this situation because I'm sure your parents did tell you that and you probably didn't listen. I've seen this movie before.
Strike three, like right down the middle.
Oh, no.
What do you want me to do?
What do you get?
Anyway, I hope OG Anunoby and his comeback performs better than I did.
Story number four.
Chris Davis.
Yeah.
A baseball player I'm certain most of you have never heard of. He's with the Oakland Athletics. Got a chance tonight to do something only four other Major League Baseball players has ever done, and that is homer twice, at least twice, in three consecutive games. So what's happened here, two games ago he hits two home runs.
Okay.
Yesterday he hits two more home runs, and if he gets two more tonight, he will become just the fifth player in Major League Baseball history. They've been playing this thing for a long time.
100
fifth
plus
player,
years, yeah.
Fifth player in Major League Baseball history to have three straight multi-homer games. He's got 9 home runs right now in just 16 games. Oakland's played 17 games, so he set out one. He's played in 16. He's got 9 home runs, which means he's on pace to hit 86 home runs this season right now.
And who's going against him? I didn't see who the...
They're playing...
Texas? Looks like Texas tonight.
Okay, but they played Baltimore last night when he hit two more home runs.
Okay.
So this is interesting. It was Oakland-Baltimore, and you've got one Chris Davis, who would be the MVP of the league right now if we stopped it right now.
Yeah.
And then another Chris Davis, who plays for Baltimore, he went 0-for-3 last night, and he is now hitless in 53 straight at bats, and it's a record for non-pitchers.
Okay,
for consecutive at bats without a hit, he's 0-for-32 this season.
Yeah,
and he hasn't gotten a hit since last September 4th, and he's in the fourth year, just the fourth year of a 7-year, $161 million contract.
I think it might be a decent bet, although hard odds, but Drew Smyly, it looks like, is on the mound. He has like a 7.11 ERA for Texas. Like, putting a little dough on him. On
Baltimore's Chris Davis just gets two hits.
I would say Baltimore's two hits.
Dude, he's gone hitless in 53 straight at bats.
I know, but like...
Yeah, like, that's the worst in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but you're more likely, certainly, to get those hits than to have two home runs for the Chris Davis in Oakland. Although...
Not when a guy's got 9 homers in 16 games and another guy's got 0 hits and 53 at bats.
All right, we're going to put some money on him doing this then. I go with the two home runs. You convince me.
Thank you. Jeff Calkins up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.